This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزال. وأقول قال الله جل جلاله والمصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to another episode from the Muslim Family brought to you by المدرسة العمرية. And in this episode, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be talking about بر الوالدين عند السلف. How did the early generations implement بر الوالدين? And this is important because if you claim to follow the Salaf al-Salih and you claim that you understand Islam the way that they understood it, so you have to look at how they understood concepts like this and how they implemented it, so you can understand what is meant by these ayat and the ahadith that we have heard of. You can contextualize it and understand how it should be implemented. And I'm going to start with an ayah which relates to Ismail alayhi salam. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah As-Saffat, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And I brought this ayah here, even though the ayah relates to two prophets from the prophets of Allah. I brought it because it is an example of excellence in Birr al-Walidain. And I brought it because it's an example that is, it's so amazing and so, it's difficult for a person to even imagine or to even comprehend the sacrifice that Ismail was willing to make. And yet you see examples of sacrifice for Birr al-Walidain among the Salaf, that you see that they truly understood from this ayah and from the ayat about Birr al-Walidain and the ahadith about Birr al-Walidain, they understood the real meaning of sacrifice and the real meaning of obedience to Allah and Birr al-Walidain. And that is that Ismail, when his father Ibrahim alayhim as-salam, when he saw in his dream and he said, my son, I've seen in a dream that I'm slaughtering you. I've seen in a dream that I'm slaughtering you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. So what do you think? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. He said, my father, do what you have been commanded. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me, inshallah, from the patient. So look at the obedience of Ismail to Allah, Azza wa Jal, and look at his patience, and look at his birr towards his father. يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. My father, don't worry. Do what you have been commanded. You won't see anything from me except al-birr, except goodness and as-sabr and patience. That's all you're going to see from me is goodness. But I brought this ayah to show you, look at the birr of Ismail, how good he was to his father Ibrahim. Ya abati if'al ma tu'mar satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. My father, do as you have been commanded. Obedience first to Allah. And you will not see anything from me. You will not find anything from me. Satajiduni. You, O my father, will find me, inshallah, to be among the patient. And that is why they call him Al-Ibn al-Bar, the righteous child who was from the best of the people to his parents. Ismail, alayhi salam. And this is just one example from the examples of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. But it sets the scene for what we're going to talk about. And that is a narration from Usayr ibn Jabir that he said, كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه إذا أتى عليه أمداد أهل اليمن سألهم أفيكم أويس ابن عامر. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, when the people of Yemen would come to him, the delegations, the people in from, it's mentioned that they would come in the Hajj every year, or perhaps it could refer to the people who would come for other reasons in the army or whatever. But the people from Ahl Yemen, they would come every single year. And when they would come, every time Umar would say to the people of Yemen, Is there a man among you called Uwais ibn Amir? Is there a man among you called Uwais ibn Amir? حتى أتى على أويس فقال أنت أويس بن عامر قال نعم. Until he came to that one day, one time, he found, they said, yeah, there is a man called Uwais ibn Amir who came with us. So Umar, he came to Uwais ibn Amir. Umar ibn al-Khattab. Who is Umar ibn al-Khattab? After all of the Sahaba, he is the second best of all of the Sahaba and the best of them after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. And Umar is the one coming to him, looking for him. He says, are you Uwais ibn Amir? He said, yes. Then Umar, he said to him, min muradin thumma min qaran. Are you from Murad and then from Qaran? Are you Qarni, Uwais al-Qarni? Qala na'am. He said, yes. قال فكان بك برص فبرأت منه إلا موضع درهم. He said, was it the case that you had this disease of the skin, leprosy, and you became cured from it except for the spot the size of a dirham? قال نعم. He said, yes. قال لك والدة. He said, do you have your mother? And your mother is alive and you look after your mother. قال نعم. He said, yes. Then Umar, he said, radiallahu an, qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, ya'ti alaykum Uwais ibn Amir min amdadi ahli al-Yamani min muradin thumma min qaran. So there will come to you a man whose name is Uwais ibn Amir from the people of Ahlul Yemen, from the delegation who came with from the people of Yemen, from Murad and then from Qaran, and he'll be from the tribe of Qaran. بويس القرني كان به برص فبرأ منه إلا موضع درهم. He had this disease of the skin, so leprosy, and he became cured from it except for the space of a dirham. له والدة هو بها بر. And this is the shahid. He has his mother and he is bar to her. He does birr al-walidain. He does great dutifulness to his mother. لو أقسم على الله لأبره. If he swore to Allah for something to happen, Allah would make it happen. فإن استطعت أن يستغفر لك ففعل. He said, so if it's easy for you to go to Uwais and ask him to ask Allah to forgive you, then do so. To make istighfar for you, then do so. La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. For Umar ibn al-Khattab, and who is Umar ibn al-Khattab? For Umar ibn al-Khattab to go to Uwais al-Qarni and say, ask Allah to forgive me. لو أقسم على الله لأبر. If he made an oath and he asked Allah for something to happen, Allah would make it happen. Then Umar, he said to him, فاستغفر لي. He said, ask Allah to forgive me. فاستغفر له. So Uwais asked Allah to forgive him. فقال له عمر, أين تريد? Umar said to him, where are you heading to? قال الكوفة. He said, I'm heading to كوفة. قال ألا أكتب لك إلى عاملها. He says, shall I not write a letter to the governor of Kufa? Shall I not write a letter to the one who is appointed over Kufa, that to make things easy for you, that whatever you want, you can have it, to look after you, to give you precedence? And Umar realized, this is the best of the tabi'een. This is the one the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified. If you're able to ask him to ask Allah to forgive you, then do so. He said, should I not? You know, the honor of this person, and he's from the unknown people. From the unknown people. He said, shall I not write a letter to send with you to the governor of Kufa? And remember, if Umar sends a letter, now the governor of Kufa is going to open the doors for Uwais al-Qarni. Qala akunu في غبراء الناس أحب إلي. He said, for me to be among the poor people is more beloved to me. For me just to be an unknown person among the poor people, I would prefer that. So he declined the offer of Umar radiallahu an to send a letter to the governor of Kufa, and he said, I would just rather be among the poor people. What made him the best of the generations after the Sahaba? The Prophet specified one thing, and that is the birr that he had towards his mother. SubhanAllah. And we, no doubt, there are other things reported from him, his zuhud, his turning away from the dunya, his ibadah, his worship of Allah, some of the things that he said. But the thing that the Prophet highlighted is how good he was to his mother. And while we're talking about the tabi'een, Al-Imam ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great imam from the tabi'een, it said that when he was with his mother, the people thought that he was sick because of how meek he was and how quiet he was and how he would not even raise his eye to look at her. That the people would say to him that, are you sick? Because of the way that how he would behave in front of his mother. And it's narrated from Ibn Sirin that he wouldn't eat at the same time as his mother. Because he feared, he said, I fear that I would take something and eat it, and she wanted to eat it. And Urwa, who is the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha, Urwa ibn al-Zubayr, the son of al-Zubayr radiallahu anhu ardah, he said, مَا بَرَّ أَبَوَيْهِ مَنْ مَدَّ إِلَيْهِمَ النَّظَرِ He said that the one who looks at his parents, and who basically looks at them for a long time or stares at them, this one has not done birr al-walidain. SubhanAllah, this is how the tabi'een understood it. Ibn Sirin didn't used to eat from the plate in case he took something that his mother wanted. Urwa said, looking at your parents, the one who stares at his parents, this one did not do birr al-walidain. Has not done birr al-walidain. They can't be considered to be bar, to be dutiful to their parents if they إِلَيْهِمَ النَّظَرِ They look at them for a long time and they don't lower their head in front of them. And Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great imam from the tabi'een, he would put his cheek on the floor and he would say to his mother, put your foot on my cheek. Rest your foot. ضَعْ قَدَمَكِ عَلَى خَدِّي Put your foot and rest it on my cheek. And it's narrated from the great Imam Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir rahimahullah ta'ala, from the imamat of the tabi'een, that he said, بَاتَ أَخِي يُصَلِّي وَبِئْتُ أَغْمِزُ قَدَمَ أُمِّي He said, my brother, when the evening came, the night came, my brother spent the night praying, and I spent the night massaging the foot of my mother. يَقُول وَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لَيْلَتِي بِلَيْلَتِهِ He said, I would never wish to have exchanged what he did for what I did. SubhanAllah. I.e., I wouldn't, if he offered me to swap and said to me that you would have spent the night in prayer and I would have spent the night looking after my mother's foot, he said that that looking after his mother's foot was more beloved to him than Qiyamul Layl, than spending the whole night in prayer. And it's narrated from Ibrahim ibn Hashim. لما نزل جرير بن عبد الحميد الكوفي ببغداد على ابن المسيب فلما عبر إلى الجانب الشرقي جاء المد فقلت لأحمد بن حنبل تعبر said that Ibrahim ibn Hashim, he said that when Jarir ibn Abd al-Hamid al-Kufi came to Baghdad and he crossed over to the al-Janib al-Sharqi, the eastern side, the river or the Ja'al Mad, yani al-Nahar, the river, it came, the flood came, and the river became overflowing. So I said to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, Ta'bur, are you going to cross the river to visit this Shaykh of Hadith? فقال أمي لا تدعني. He said, my mother doesn't allow me to do it. And my mother doesn't give me permission to cross the river when it is full, when the mud comes, when it's overflowing. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam from the Imma of Ahl Sunnah, and he wouldn't cross the river for a hadith because his mother said to him that he wasn't allowed to go. The narrator, he said, فَعَبَرْتُ أَنَا. He said, I went across by myself and I left Ahmed ibn Hanbal. Despite how much Al-Imam Ahmed wanted to go and to listen, to gain that hadith and that knowledge, he didn't cross the river because his mother didn't allow him. And it's narrated from Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, one of the Imams of the Sunnah, that he said, كُنْتُ مَعَ مَنْصُورٍ. He said, فَتَصِيحُ بِهِ أُمُّهُ وَكَانَتْ فَضَّةٌ عَلَيْهِ. He said his mother, she was screaming at him, and she was very hard and she was very harsh with him, and she generally, and she was tough with him. She was tough and she was harsh with him, and she was screaming at him. وَهُوَ وَاضِعٌ لَحِيَتَهُ عَلَى صَدَرِهِ مَا يَرْفَعُ طَرْفَهُ إِلَيْهَا. And he was putting his beard in his chin, on his chest, and he never looked up at her. And she was shouting at him. An imam from the imma of Ahl Sunnah, subhanallah. And the people turn to him, an imam from the imma of Ahl Sunnah, and his mother is screaming at him, and all he does is just lower his chin to his chest out of humility in front of his mother. And it's narrated about Al-Abbar. استأذن أمه في الرحلة إلى قتيبة. He had asked his mother permission to travel to Qutayba. Qutayba ibn Sa'id, the great scholar of hadith, for talib al-ilm, to write the hadith. فَلَمْ تَأْذَنْ لَهُ. She didn't give him permission. فَجَلَسْ. So he stayed where he was. ثُمَّ مَاتَتْ. And then she passed away. فَخَرَجَ إِلَى خُرَسَان. He traveled to Khurasan to reach Qutayba. And she's passed away. He waited with her until she died. When she died, Qutayba was still alive. So he traveled to Khurasan to meet Qutayba. ثُمَّ وَصَلَ بَلْخ. وَقَدْ مَاتَ قُتَيْبَ. So when he reached Balkh, he realized, or the news reached him, that Qutayba had died before he could reach him. And then the people, they began to say, oh, you know, they began to make it like, say, feel sorry for him, that, oh, you couldn't go because of your mother, and then you traveled, after she died, you traveled to Qutayba only to reach a particular place, and then to realize that Qutayba has also died. And he responded with a response that is, yuktab bima'i dhahab, it deserves to be written in golden ink. He said, hadhihi thamaratul ilm, inni akhtartu ridha alwalida. He said, this is the fruit of knowledge. Don't feel sorry for me. This is the fruit of knowledge. I chose the contentment of my mother. Subhanallah, look at how the Salaf understood this. He said, you're saying sorry to me that I couldn't go and listen to hadith from Qutayba, or I couldn't go and ask him a question, or I couldn't go and write hadith from him. But I chose, this is why I got this knowledge. Why was I going to Qutayba for? I went to Qutayba to learn knowledge, and I learned knowledge to act upon it. هَذِي ثَمَرَةُ الْعِلْمِ. The fruit of the knowledge is you act upon it. What was the point of gathering all of these ahadith? Was I gathering all of these hadith so I could just say that I have more hadith than the other person? I was gathering them to act upon them. I deliberately chose the contentment of my mother. That was a choice based upon ilm. It was based upon knowledge. So don't feel sorry for me that I missed out on Qutayba, on writing the hadith from Qutayba. إِنِّي أَخْتَرْتُ رِضَ الْوَالِدَ. I deliberately chose for my mother to be happy with me, because this is knowledge. ثَمَرَةُ الْعِلْمِ. Otherwise, what was the benefit in gathering all of those hadith? The benefit was to act upon them. And from the hadith that he gathered and he knew about, he said, the knowledge that I gathered, it was what made me choose my mother, and to choose for my mother to be content with me. And he didn't go out, so he didn't get to seek that knowledge from Qutayba rahimahumallahu ta'ala. May Allah have mercy on them both. So this is just a glimpse at how the Salaf al-Salih understood Birr al-Walidain. And wallahi, we are in great, great need of going back and gathering these ayat, the ahadith on this topic, and the fiqh of this topic, and the stories and the narrations of the Salaf al-Salih on this topic, and really asking ourselves, where do we stand with regard to Birr al-Walidin? And I think that's a question all of us have to ask ourselves. Where do we stand in relation to that? Rather, subhanAllah, these are people who they preferred their parents over the things which are from the most important of the mustahabbat, like talibul ilm. And we, subhanAllah, perhaps disobey our parents in the things which are from the wajibat in the first place, that we're supposed to do in the first place. So we really, really need to ask ourselves, where do we stand with regard to this? And we need to double our efforts so that we're not from those people who are gaining rewards from something but losing more on the other side from something else. Or from the people who become busy with al-maftool, the wasteful things, or the things which are not so virtuous, instead of al-fadil, that which is virtuous and honorable. So these are just a few points that Allah has made easy for me to mention. And in the next class, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to go on to a new segment, which is going to deal with silatul rahim, the keeping the ties with relatives, and what that means, and how we can do it. We will be leaving time for questions, inshallah ta'ala. If you do have questions, please email them to questions@amau.org, and please put in the subject the Muslim family, so that we know that these questions relate to this particular course. And inshallah ta'ala, at some point towards the end, perhaps after the course is finished, or at the end of the course, inshallah ta'ala, we will deal with the questions that people have, inshallah ta'ala, bi-idhnillah. We will try our very best to deal with the questions that are put forward. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention in this episode, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Assalamu alaikum. If you're enjoying these videos and you'd like to keep up to date with all of the courses we're going to be running, make sure you head over to amauathome.com.